Welcome back to Between Takes with Opal Entertainment. I'm Andrew Driscoll.
And I'm Olivia O'Neill.
And today we're going to discuss philosophy, theology, religion, and faith.
We're going to be taking some time to define those terms, as well as see how we apply them to our own lives.
So, if you want to hear from a couple of kids who think they know better, grab a friend, get a snack, go for a walk, and enjoy this week's episode of Between Takes. Welcome back, folks.
Welcome back.
How you doing, Liv?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Have anything to share?
My father's in town.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Do you have anything you want to share?
My mom and my sister and her boyfriend are in town.
Mm-hmm. Your sister's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are playing a show one week today.
Today.
When this comes out.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting. So we have family in town to come see it.
Mm-hmm. Also because of a hurricane in Florida that your sister didn't want to be a part of.
Yeah. So
we don't want to get too political, but like she just doesn't like to associate with hurricanes too much. Yes.
Anyway, so we have a full house, and then tomorrow we are going to have, this week we're going to have some people over to rehearse songs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be really full, little apartment.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
It'll be a
fun like
time.
I like it that way.
Yeah. It's nice that you have so many friends, you don't have enough room for all of them. It's a good problem to have.
Subtle flex, but.
But also kind of playing down like our house isn't that big. Like it gets full pretty quick.
But we have full hearts because
we do have full hearts because we have a full house
of friends.
Yes,
there we go.
Yes, it's very nice.
I thought of a good song title the other day and I can't remember what it is now.
Was it something about the dancing leprechaun?
I do want to have I don't know if I've oh wait maybe I wrote it down
look real quick I also want to tell everyone next week will be our 50th episode of the show. What do you think of that, Liv?
50? That's awesome.
Next week will be our 50. We should do something really fun. So, folks, what should we do for like the 50 Between Takes 50th episode special thingy?
It's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. I don't know if anyone has any super cool ideas. Oh, well, here's what we should do. We should read 50 books, watch 50 movies, and listen to 50 albums.
In 50 days.
In 50 days. Wait, no, because we only have like 7 days. But we should review all of them. We should review 150 properties on this podcast on our 50th episode.
Age. I feel like that would be just more of like the enjoyment of completing a challenge rather than the enjoyment of the process. I feel like that would be so boring.
We'll think of something different.
Yeah. I don't know if I've talked about this song idea on here, but this wasn't what I was thinking of, but I thought of it before. I want to have a song called something about strawberries because... A while ago, I made this joke. Have I talked about this?
Not on the podcast, I don't think.
I made this joke to my mom that was like, it wasn't a joke because I was actually doing it. But then I continued doing it because I was like, now that I said it, I need to keep doing it. Every time I go to the store, when I remember mostly, I go to like the strawberry aisle, with the produce aisle and then corner. Strawberries and stuff. And I hang out there for about 10 seconds. And my thing is like, if any like guy walks up that like is single, hopefully, and is like... also looking at strawberries, I will say something to him.
He has to be a stranger, right?
Yeah. Okay. Like, I don't know who he is.
So it's like,
my theory is like, I'll meet the love of my life in the strawberry aisle. Like, how romantic, how cute is that? So now I do that, and now I want to write a song about it, about like finding love in the strawberry aisle.
I feel like you should write it post finding love in the strawberry aisle. I feel like that would
really?
Be a more complete story.
No, but I've been doing it for like 3 years now.
Well, just keep giving it a shot. Have faith, Liv.
Have faith.
Hey, that ties into what we're going to be talking about today. Do you have anything else about the strawberry story you want to share?
No, I think I have like a draft of a song, but it's not very good, so.
You don't show me most of the stuff that you're working on these days. You keep saying you're writing stuff, and I haven't heard anything.
I'm not, if I bring it to someone, they're obviously going to give their input and like do it, and that's how we usually write songs.
Sure. You can tell me this is just for you to hear, and I don't have to. Like, I don't have to jump into
maybe because I like
producer
value,
co-writer
I like,
mode.
I don't know. Yeah, we should talk about it more.
Yeah, I mean,
we've also been just focusing. Our album has such a theme that like these wouldn't really necessarily like maybe not fitting into it. So
that's fine. But I think just continuing to write stuff.
No, I definitely
think
continuing
to write and stuff, regardless of whether it's a end product song that you want to share at the end of it. you know, I think that's incredibly valuable. Which
I am doing. I'm just not doing it with you necessarily. Yeah.
Right. Which is also fine. I just think like you keep talking about it and I would like to hear them.
Because I should.
Yeah. Anyway.
Sorry.
The stuff you write by yourself is always like, oh, that was surprising type thing. It's like that. Didn't know you wrote that way. And then you do. So anyway.
Rock cool. On. So today we have like a pretty exciting topic given to us by Aiden's brother, Tlayson.
Yes. He has been the kind of the unspoken guest on like 10 episodes at this point. He has prompted several.
On speakerphone on our, yeah, we've talked to him.
Yes. He's prompted many different topics. Thanks for all, he's a very thoughtful guy. And so he, whenever I ask him, because I feel like I talk to him almost always, like right before we record. So I'm like, hey, we're going to record an episode later today, which we talk about. And he'll give me some like super profound thought that all of a sudden we can talk about for 2 hours or whatever. Anyway, I was talking to him a couple weeks ago. So this was something he didn't just come up with it. But he asked me this a couple weeks ago, and Liv and I have been talking about it and thinking about it. And I guess, I mean, you can talk a little bit about this. We've been a little tentative. Should we say it first, like what the topic is, and then talk about it? Okay, so the question from Chuck was, what's the difference between philosophy, theology, and religion? Mm-hmm. And how do they all exist within our lives? Within, like, our, personally.
Aiden.
Aiden's life and Olivia's life. And we've been, I pitched that to Liv, and we just kind of talked about it, and you talk, I mean, I think we both kind of had a similar tentativeness, because we don't want it to feel, we don't want to be preachy, first of all, and we don't want to talk above people, we don't want to sound condescending, but also, I think this is the main thing, is for me, well, I don't know, what were your thoughts?
One of the main things also for me was just that these are replacements. That these, well, theology, religion, and philosophy is a belief that's a replacement of faith.
Right. And so faith is kind of the fourth component that Liv and I bring into this conversation to say,
it's
I think
something that's part of our lives, central to our lives.
Right. I will make this, well, we'll get into that later on, I guess.
Well, I was just going to say, we were trying to think about why, articulate why faith is different than philosophy, theology, and religion, and we were talking about how that is theology and philosophy primarily is knowledge based on past and ideas about the future. Faith is
it's
very
much more
present
intellectual
thing.
Yeah,
when you're making decisions and you're talking to people in your life,
right?
I think of faith and the Holy Spirit. It's an intertwined type thing that you have, and that is very present. You don't use knowledge in split seconds like that.
Right. Right.
Where faith does come, you know,
right.
It's kind of amazing how fast we think.
Yeah.
It's like, you can think of like 10 things in 2 seconds or something.
Right.
You can articulate something like that in not that much time.
Right. Right.
As can be seen. Prime example. But you know kind of what I'm saying?
Right.
It's out of our time in a way.
Yeah. And I think that is something too that, I've been reading this book called Walking on Water by Madeleine L'Engle, and I highly recommend it to the entire world. Liv, I think you would really like it.
Yeah,
but
I'd love to read it.
One of the quotes, Madeleine L'Engle is talking, the book is about, the subtitle of the book is Reflections on Faith and Art. So the whole book is kind of about her kind of walking us through her thought process on how faith and art are completely intertwined and how they relate to each other and they support each other. And one of the, in like the very first chapter, one of the things that she says is bad art is bad religion. Another thing she says is something to the effect of, she says it better, but a true message isn't an excuse for a poorly told story or a bad piece of art or something. And she has, I mean, she's an incredibly good writer. What?
I saw something, but you can keep playing.
One of the things I think with, when we talk about theology, when we are, I guess, maybe I'll say it this way, when we're practicing theology or philosophy and talking about these big ideas, I think what we're doing is trying to define something that is outside of time, like you were just saying. We're trying to define things in as tangible terms as possible so that we have a very definite definition of everything, an explanation for everything. And I think we can get, that's not to say the things that we're defining are true, are untrue. I mean, sorry. They may be completely true, but I think we are trying to box in and pigeonhole something that is infinite and outside of every practically everything that we exist in. One of the things that she says that I really like is she was talking about reading when she was younger, reading a bunch of like German theologians, And realizing that they kept doing that, they were kept trying to like box in God. And so one of the quotes from the book that I wrote down was, if I have to believe all this limiting of God, then I cannot be a Christian. And I really like that because I think you do continue to narrow down to as slim as possible. And again, in certain areas, that's necessary and that's important. You know, you and I write a song. Well, it came from a 9-hour conversation scattered over the course of 2 years or something, right? Hmm. So how do we get that down into a 3-minute song? Hmm. Well, yeah, we're going to want to funnel it around and pick the best parts, right?
Yeah.
But God is more than a 9-hour conversation. And, so I think it's even, again, it's not necessarily wrong to try and funnel him down into for specific purposes into this 3-minute song or whatever. But like you said, I think people use that in place of faith. Yeah. People use the funneling.
Sorry, well, I was just going to mention something that I thought of just now was like, right now we're trying, and a lot of people have tried to do this, so it's nothing new, but sometimes you meet people who are Christians and you ask them a question, they say, just have faith.
Right.
And that can be, first of all, kind of hurtful to some people who don't know God very much. And it's like, or they're just, we've talked about this, I think. Judged for asking questions.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, but that's a big part of it, right?
That's another thing Madeline Lingle talks about, is the faithfulness of doubt. But yeah, keep going.
And then the other aspect is you talk to philosophers and things like that, and they don't believe in God at all. And they
some
only
of them,
look...
Some of them do, but yeah, keep going,
but
sorry.
Secular philosophers that I'm thinking of is like, necessarily, is just like too highly logical with no faith. Right. So it's the melding of the two together that is what is interesting to us and like how you do that. Right.
I will say, I'm glad you said interesting to us because yes, that is something to you and I specifically, it's really intriguing to see because I do think Plato has an incredibly consistent line of logic and I think it's even correct for the most part in a lot of, I just recently started reading his Republic. So it's very dense and it's very, I've been going through it really slowly. But it's interesting that, this was before, I mean, he was writing before Jesus had come, right? So there wasn't this idea of eternal salvation in the same way that there is today. So he's not talking about it in terms of that. He's merely saying in society, how we function, how we interact with each other, what consistent lines of logic can we follow?
Well, yeah, it almost doesn't even have opinions in it. It's just like he's setting up a world. What would happen if we set up these rules?
Sure, yeah.
For a city.
Yeah. If we all had a mutual understanding of these things,
play out? That has nothing to do with opinions. It has nothing to do with... He's literally showing us his thought process. And that's why I think it's really intriguing to follow philosophy. Even if the end result, you're like...
Right.
It can give you insight. Right. I don't know. Because in the Republic, he's defining justice.
Right. Which I think you and I, in Christianity, the idea of justice is relevant, but isn't at the root,
It's not the root question that I think about every day.
No. And just the idea of, what is justice? Do I, because we deserve justice and we receive grace, right?
Yeah.
We deserve, or we receive forgiveness.
Yeah.
And that is something that is of all the faiths, I guess. So we'll get into that in a second. We're going to go through and try and find a mutual definition for all these terms. Should we just do that now before we go
into
further?
Might as well, yeah. Okay. What's the first one we should start with?
So, this is just, we're going to use this, the Google provided Oxford definition of these words.
I'm trying to make it as concise as possible so that later we can
we'll use that as kind of
because sometimes in these conversations, Aiden and I go into it starting out with different definitions of the words, and then the conversation might be saying the same thing, but we're using different terms, and then we get confused and frustrated. Right. So that's kind of why we want to lay it out, so then maybe everyone can know what our starting bases are.
So we're gonna use the Google provided Oxford dictionary definition of these words, and then if we feel like they're incorrect or we want to add further nuance to it, we can then jump in and, but yeah, I think we want to keep it concise mm-hmm. and explicitly stated
then how we want to go into the meat terms. Of it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So philosophy is defined as the study of the fundamental nature of knowledge, reality, and existence, especially when considered as an academic discipline. So that to me seems pretty straightforward. I feel like I'm pretty much in agreement with that. The study of the fundamental nature of knowledge, reality, and existence.
Yeah. I feel like existence for sure is like, is a key topic. Right. Like what Plato is like how people function in yes. existence and in societies.
And not necessarily, because I would, you know, I think a lot of people will equate philosophy with psychology, and they are similar, and they can support and relate to each other. But I think philosophy is much more human interaction than the exact, like, what causes neurons to go in a certain way.
Yeah, it's almost like the roles that, not necessarily individuals, I feel like psychology, is that what you said? Mm-hmm. Is more about this individual and how they
right.
function. It's more about like the roles of like the common worker and
right.
the teacher and the student. He's using like generic,
right.
not individual people and how they.
Yes.
Does that kind of make sense?
Yes. So he's trying to find, the philosopher is trying to find common denominators and neutral terms to describe things for the purpose of explaining how they relate.
Yeah.
Is that a good way?
Yeah, I would say.
Okay. So I would say I'm happy with this.
Next.
Theology, the study of the nature of God and religious belief.
So, okay. Is it kind of like why we believe what we believe?
Yes. That is included within theology, I would say. Yes.
The study of why.
Yes. So I would say philosophy is the umbrella term. And within that is theology.
Theology is a little bit narrowed in on
specifically God religious and practices.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's not, I don't think it is exclusive to Christianity. I do think there is.
Well, Buddhist. This one is saying study of God, capital G.
But it also says religious beliefs and theory when systematically developed. Well, I'm not totally sure.
I think.
Give me 2 seconds. Let me.
Yeah.
Theology is the study of religion. It examines the human experience of faith and how different people and cultures express it. Theologians examine the many different religions of the world and their impact on society. So I would say, I think that there are most, okay, here's what it is. Mm-hmm. Most historical theologians that people will point to within Christianity were Christians themselves. I think there are quite a few theologians who are not Christians or even necessarily practice religion.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know enough to say yes or no if I believe that, but if you say
sure. I'm not totally, I can't point necessarily to them,
yeah.
but,
okay.
We'll get to that later on. So again, I would say that this is included within philosophy in a way. Mm-hmm. It's the study of something, right?
Yeah.
For the purpose, not, what?
Of ideas.
Right.
Basically.
The philosophy is the study of ideas, and the theology is specifically the idea of religion and God. Or a higher existence or whatever, right? So then you and I were talking about this beforehand, and we were talking about, so what's the difference between theology and philosophy? Mm-hmm. And I think we found this definition that we like. Philosophy looks for rational explanations and justification for beliefs. Philosophy has its basis in reason. Theology deals with thinking about religious beliefs in a rational manner, but it presumes faith. So theology is using the basis, is saying, given that we agree and we understand God's existence and the gospel, will use that as the basis and move forward and say, okay, so from that, let's examine
different
aspects of life
and things like, yeah.
Yes.
Where philosophy is purely, well, could start with a small question or a big question, like what is justice, and then go from there. Cool.
Okay. So now I think we're pretty much in agreement about that. So religion, the belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal God or gods. So this I think is now, theology and philosophy are both external intellectual primarily for our own curiosity and interests, mm-hmm. right? Religion.
Personally, I guess, yeah.
Right, right. And that's we'll get into that later on mm-hmm. about like how it applies to us specifically.
Religion is like you act on, what's the word? You practice religion.
Right.
Action,
yeah,
which includes maybe going to church or reading this every day as part of your religion. Like it's you know, there's many religions, and like some are more strict than, like, certain religions. Maybe right. you wear a head covering and you pray three times a day. It's part of mm-hmm. your religion. So would you say, right?
Yeah. So this is the big thing. I think most people conflate religion with faith. Mm-hmm. I think they are important to each other. I think, but you and I were talking just before this about how I think faith should always be the start of it, and should always, is what it comes down to. It comes down to your faith, right? Mm-hmm. Because all throughout, you and I believe in Christianity. We think that's, right? That is.
We believe in God.
That, right.
Yeah.
We believe in God, but we believe that Christianity is the way that God has called us to practice religion.
Okay. Yeah,
is that,
yeah, yeah.
Is that a correct assumption?
Yeah. Okay. I haven't heard it said like that.
Okay. So because of that, we can look through and look at, well, what are the sacred texts of Christianity? Well, that's the Bible, those scriptures, right? All throughout those, the quote unquote religious leaders are typically the ones at, after a certain point that are, I mean, especially in the New Testament, those are the ones that are condemned for by the,
because they're making the religion the God, already. Right? Yeah. Instead of just God.
Correct. Which yes. faith allows. They call it Jesus. You know, you're working on the Sabbath and you're eating not with unclean hands. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All those things. That is not religiously correct. Mm-hmm. And that's where, and then, you know.
But because God was telling him to do these things, he decided to, instead that of follow was more religion, important he than followed faith, the trust, right. the faith that God was telling him the right thing and not right. telling him to do something that he wasn't supposed
so
to
let's,
do.
So let's get into faith and the this is the one I think you and I had the most discussion about beforehand.
Right.
Where this is defined as complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Excuse me. What do you think about that definition?
Yeah. I mean, that's the basics, right?
Right.
I guess, yeah, we were talking about, what were we saying?
I was saying faith at its, at, like, the most, like, take out any implication of higher intelligence or supernatural existence or whatever. I think faith can still be a word that, you know, I have, like, I use example, I have faith that this bridge will not collapse when I drive across it, right? Mm-hmm. I have faith in the workers who built it and their competence.
And
you made a distinction.
Well, I was, oh shoot, sorry, now that I'm trying to remember. I was just saying, I'm 90, you know, I've heard stories of bridges collapsing. Mm-hmm. So if ever I'm like under one, I'm think, oh, there's like a percentage, very small though it may right. be, that this will collapse. Where I am 100% certain that God is real and he's part of my life and that will never change.
Right.
Where I could presume the bridge may fall on me.
Sure.
So then, I don't necessarily have faith in the bridge, but I... Right? Is that what I was saying?
Well,
I'm kind of confused.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So does faith account for doubt? Because I asked you then, so what's the difference between you having absolute, your faith that in God's existence is certain. Mm-hmm. So if you're certain of something, I'm certain that there's a carpet on the ground. I don't need to have faith that there's a carpet on the ground.
Yeah.
So what's the difference then between having faith in God and being certain of God? And so if you're certain of God, what does faith mean?
Yeah, we were saying, or I was saying that I'm certain that God is real. I have faith that what he does in my life is for his my good, for his good. Mm-hmm. That it will end in good, because there's lots of hard times on earth where you can forget those things, right? And you're like, why is this happening to me? Or why is there never, you know, or whatever. But it's because I have faith that this is what is supposed, that God wanted, that this is for a higher good. This is,
right.
It's a humbling experience, because it's also knowing that you are one of many, many people. It doesn't mean that relationship with God is less, or that he doesn't, it shouldn't be like, God's not worried about me. I'm just one lowly.
Right.
That's not what I'm saying. It's you're part of something bigger here.
Right.
And you never know what your struggles are doing to impact those around you and how you handle them.
Yeah.
So there's so many things.
So just to clarify mm-hmm. from that, you have certainty. You live in faith. Mm-hmm. Your faith isn't in God. Your certainty in his existence.
Yeah.
Your certainty is in his existence. If we're right, is that semi-fair way? And I think I would do a, you know, we can make the disclaimer right now. And I said this before, you know.
We're exploring.
We're thinking this through. And also anything we say to the illusion of God, illusion, not illusion, is a, I think, kind of offensive understatement and oversimplification of the reality. Yes. Of that. So we're not trying to boil it down exactly what I was criticizing a second ago. We're not trying to boil it down and narrow in on God can be summed up in these eight paragraphs.
No, we're just trying to articulate the best we can to be able to carry on a conversation, right, which might include
words oversimplifications that, yeah, and yes, just to be able to get using words slightly differently than what we might normally use in conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have certainty in God's existence.
Yes.
And you have faith then throughout the day that kind of regardless of what happens, you will be faithful.
He's for me.
Sure.
I'm a child of God.
Right.
Everything, you know. Even so, you know, you could, I used to hear people say like, it would be annoying to me. It's like something bad, something hard happens in your life and it's like, it will work out. Like things will get better. Mm-hmm. God is for, you know, things like that. And it's like, well, how's that true? Because it doesn't seem to be getting better.
Yeah.
Hard things keep coming up.
Yeah.
But I think I came to the realization that like, life, your whole entire life for some people, or I see people that are struggling and I'm like, why is this happening to them?
Right.
That doesn't seem fair. Like, what's the deal here? Your whole life might have terrible times throughout it. The whole, you know, mm-hmm. But we do not end when we die.
Right.
So your rewards for everything, for some people, it might come on earth. Right. As,
well, that's probably not even, right, part of it. That's probably right? Not even the whole reward. No.
But it yeah. could be seen on earth.
Sure.
Where some people might struggle their whole life, and mm-hmm. their reward right. comes to them. And I'm not explaining it right.
But I get what you're saying.
Do you know what I'm saying,
but
though?
But that's kind of what we're saying just a second. There is so much in Christianity that I have, that I am resolved to understand that I won't understand it. That I can, all I can do is speculate. All I can do is offer my two cents, but and at the end of that conversation, always say, but I don't know, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that isn't, and that, sorry, there's just so many directions I can go
with
this. I
know, right?
Within Christianity, I think that is frowned upon. Within most, quote unquote, I'll use this word, religious circles, the way that communities come together collaboratively, mm-hmm. communally, to practice their individual faith, they look down upon you saying, I don't know, because that's allowing for doubt. And I think I've been thinking of that for a while, that I don't think doubt means being nihilistic or cynical, right? Mm. I think I think the way that Madeline L'Engle in chapter 8 of Walking on Water, I absolutely recommend it. She talks about the faithfulness of doubt and how that is an important part, that is an incredibly crucial and important part to your faith, is going, I don't know about this. Not necessarily saying, for some people it might be, is yeah. God real? It might be that big of a question. For some people it might be this specific doctrine. Does that make total sense? For some people, it might be exactly what you're talking about. Why are these bad things happening to those good people over there? Why are these bad things happening to me or whatever? And maybe they're giant bad things, maybe they're little bad things.
What is the one Mumford and Sons thing, a blind... Something with blind.
Don't just sit with folded hands and become blind.
Yeah,
that's a great.
To
line.
Me, that is really like powerful because I think yeah. God created us to decide. I don't quite know. I haven't nailed down. Is it? Do we decide to follow Him?
Sure.
Is His grace extended, and it's our choice to receive it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite Real know.
Quick. Sorry.
What? Did I say it wrong?
You, the way you just, at the very beginning, I haven't quite decided. That's just something where it's like, well, you're not the one who makes the final call on that. But
I don't know what happens. I don't know what the chronological order
of events. For you specifically, you don't know if it's,
for myself.
I had grace extended to me and I chose to receive it,
I feel like
you've been Christian your whole life, right?
So it's hard for me to decide to know what that was. But I do think it's important to today in church they were talking about commit to something and then don't question it, go on with your day and not start every day, should I do this,
right?
And in one hand I'm like, yeah, that makes sense, like,
right,
commit to this now, figure out how it plays out. And I think that's somewhat how it's right. Christianity, but I think it is crucial not to misunderstand, like, don't ask any questions. Right. I don't think that's what he was saying, right. but I think it might have come across a little bit like that.
Sure.
I've made the decision, or I don't know if I made the decision. I'm following God for my whole life, right? I believe he's real, so I don't even have to think about following. Like, he's just, that's what it is. Now I go in my day and say little, like, questions like what you're saying is like, oh, I haven't thought of it this way. Or this new idea came to my head by this person.
Yeah.
Now I'm kind of doubting if that thought was real. I don't know. I'm going on and on.
That's fine. No, that's good. I have heard, so my father, he's in town right now. For my whole life, he's been one of the guys where I'm like, hey, what's the deal with this? Explain this to me. Mm-hmm. And he explains it to me. And for the most part, almost all of it is, but he's finished explaining it. I'm going, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been living in Nashville for the past year and a half away from him. We still keep in touch and whatnot, but it hasn't been as, those questions that come to me, I have a lot more immediate resources to reach out to. And sometimes those questions are prompted by other people or whatever.
Yeah.
To where there are things now where I realize, thoughts, you know, a thought comes to me for the first time because I'm listening to such and such podcast and I go, interesting, that's a really interesting thought. And then I hear someone else talk about that and I go, okay, I think that explanation makes a lot of sense. And I talk to my dad about it and he disagrees with it. And he says, well, but there's this or whatever. And it's not necessarily a full on contradiction of each other,
mm-hmm.
but there is this like, okay, I heard it from this source and that to me seemed like a good idea. So I'm just saying all that to say, I'm at a point where I'm like, have I just believed the first explanation that's explained to me? I don't think that's the case. I don't think I'm that wishy-washy or spineless, but...
Oh, I don't think that's... To be a kid under your father, no, I don't think that's spineless.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying at this point in my life, I have this... what's an example?
Oh, you're afraid because you heard...
Because I heard it on this podcast, and then I heard it from my dad after.
Oh, so you're like, am I just going with the first one?
Yeah, because... is it just the first explanation that comes?
Oh, okay. I think we're also in an age and like the more you realize, like I think in your 20s, people talk about it, but it's like you're really defining who you are. And I hope that you figure that out all the way up till you're 87.
Right.
And
I would slightly alter you're letting God define who you are, letting God reveal to you who you are.
Right.
Or I guess I'll say that for myself. I've been trying more and more and more to let God reveal to me who I am.
Hmm.
I'm relieved to believe quite often, oh, good, I was doing something right. Because I have gone through a lot of my life not really thinking about who am I. I've been very action-oriented.
Mm.
I do something and I go, okay, God, was that good or bad? Or I say, should I do this thing?
Mm.
But over the past little bit, it's been more, who am I? Who do people see me as? How am I representing the kingdom of God?
Mm.
So...
It's just all this to say is, like, I think it is a time of, universally of the 20s, there's doubt. There's redefining.
You're saying that you and I in our stage of life or today?
Today, in today's world, culture, when you're in the age of 20. Age? 20-year-olds in their
20s. 20-year-olds in the 21st. No, you're saying the 20s. And I don't know if you mean the decade of the 20s that we're currently in or the 20s you and I.
Let me go back. Ready? Okay. People in their 20s are redefining who they are because they've grown up in one way. You're supposed to be under your parents. You're supposed to believe what they say. They're supposed to teach you good things. Now you're out in the world by yourself for the first time. That comes with doubt.
Right.
And that comes with redefinition.
Right.
And I think that's exciting.
Right.
So that's
regardless of what decade you live in.
Yeah, you can be in the 20s, 20s, you can be in the 70s.
Okay. So we spent a lot of time defining these terms. With all that then, Liv, how does philosophy...
No!
It wasn't a yes or no question. How does philosophy, theology, religion, and faith... how do they all correlate or contradict each other, and how do they exist within your life?
Guess what, Aiden?
Liv?
That's a big question.
Yeah, thanks.
I said big.
I was very flattered that it was big, yes.
Well, I don't know where to begin. In how, I was just thinking about, I mean, you kind of posed this question a couple days ago from Taliesin or whatever, and I was just thinking what the study of philosophy, like philosophy is something that I've enjoyed learning about and learning these different writers. Why is that? I like that you're sitting in on a conversation that seems to be happening. It's like you walk in and, oh, there's a conversation. I'm going to listen to this. Theology, and philosophy, or philosophy mostly, I find it's almost an inspiration. Not something I live by.
Right.
I think I inspiration on how they argue.
Right.
Not necessarily what they're arguing about. Right. Argue doesn't mean the negative. It's like right. debate, I guess. So when I read Aristotle or Plato, I'm not necessarily thinking about what they're... I mean, part of me is excited to see, like, how are they going to find this term?
Right.
But part of it's also, how did they come to their definition?
Right. And that's, I think, and that's exactly what we just spent the last 1,000 yeah. years doing was... sorry, keep going.
And I think it's useful for me to learn to articulate that thought process for other things that I'm talking about. So I'm going there to be inspired by how they debate and come right. to conclusions to then take in my life to debate and argue the things that I want to talk about, which might right. be someone asking, why is, I don't know. It's hard. I have a hard time using really logical explanations when talking about God.
Right.
So I feel like it's a disservice.
Mm-hmm. To God.
To God.
And to the person that you might be defining.
Yeah, because yes. I feel like having an answer right away is really hurtful to someone who's maybe first coming up with these questions yes. on themselves. I do think philosophy and theology takes a long process to get to their conclusions, and I think that's a great way right. to be talked to someone is by answering them by asking them questions. Yeah, I think philosophy, from the ones that I've read, they ask a lot of questions to reach their conclusion, and I think that's an interesting way of talking.
Right.
Because it's how our brains work. We right. ask a question, we answer it. We ask a question, we answer it, and then we bring a conclusion. I think that's just a natural way. Mm-hmm. You don't get to a conclusion by having someone where you're in a conversation with someone who already has their thoughts already laying out and they're not going to budge. Like, I think
right.
it's a natural, organic thing. And I think in that way, I don't think it's opposite of having faith.
No. And I think that is incredibly important. I think that is definitely one of the things, again, I think regardless of the, well, I don't know about completely regardless, but for me, like you're saying, the point of reading philosophy and understanding philosophers isn't to agree or disagree or find an ideology to subscribe to, right? Mm-hmm. The point is to understand thought process, to understand how do people think, how did you get to these conclusions and whatnot, right? And I think that is one of the things, going back to what I said about, like, you know, when you say, I don't know, within most religious circles, that can be kind of a bad thing. A lot of people don't show their process, don't show their work, so to speak, right? And I think that's a really cool part. You have something?
Sorry. So you guys have heard We the Least, right?
Right. Oh.
I'm waiting for their answer.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Ask them again.
You guys know who We the Least is, right? Well, I'm so glad because they're awesome. We had them on the podcast last week. And I was looking a while back at their website when we first met them because they have mm-hmm. like their bios on there mm-hmm. of like who each of the band members is. Mm-hmm. And I was looking under Nathaniel's and he said like his favorite book of the Bible was Ecclesiastes mm-hmm. because it claims that everything is meaningless and, or not everything.
Well, I mean,
what do you say?
The original, there are different translations, but all is vanity and there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah, which I was like, that's kind of weird, like interesting. So I read Ecclesiastes the other day.
You read the whole book?
Just, yeah, it's not very long. It's a
good book, right?
And it just talked about wisdom and knowledge and how, right. at first I was like, oh, I thought that we were made to learn and gain wisdom. And you hear about like the old wise person and you think of them as right. good. And I mean, obviously.
Right.
But I think that's why we talked about having struggles of like talking about this topic because faith is where it starts and ends. And
we're having an intellectual discussion and are we falling exactly into the trap that we're warning against?
Yeah.
Right.
But the Ecclesiastes really breaks that down for me was like having wisdom and knowledge is good, but at the end of the day, Faith is what is what takes it all. I'm not using these words, but
just go
to Ecclesiastes because I thought it's worded really well. I'm not going to try to reword it.
Was there a specific passage you wanted to read from?
Or?
Because, yeah, I honestly read Ecclesiastes recently, too, and I thought it, to me, it seemed very in line with Ayn Rand's The Virtue of Selfishness, parts of that. And the way where she argues in her philosophy of objectivism that everything people do has selfish motives. And I think I've talked a little bit about Ayn Rand on the podcast, where I think when she says when she gives prescriptive philosophy and says, here's how you should live your life, I mostly disagree with her. When she gives, what's the other word that me and Kieran reused? Descriptive philosophy, saying, here seems to be how people act. Here seems to be the natural tendencies of people. I mostly agree with her. And I think that is very much in line. We do these things. She uses the word, it's rooted in selfishness. Solomon uses the word, it's all vanity, right? Sorry, yeah. Keep going.
Well, I'll just read a little piece I just thought was interesting. This is Ecclesiastes 1:16. It says, I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ever ruled over Jerusalem before me. I've experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this too is a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief.
Yeah, I remember. And I was like, yeah.
That is interesting. Yeah. I've never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Because you look to people that have it, you know, in other countries.
I don't, but yeah.
I've seen like video, you know, of like people in other countries and they're living terribly, but they have smiles and joy.
Sure, yeah.
It's a blind, it's almost like.
Sure. Well, that makes me think two things.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, not blind fit because we don't like that. I don't know. This is confusing. Go ahead.
Well, one thing it made me think of is my grandma who lived in Kansas during the Depression and the Dust Bowl. And, you know, do you know about the Dust Bowl?
Heard of it.
You heard rumors? I'm a Dust Bowl denier.
Oh, no.
I don't know why, but that was very funny to me. She lived through that. That was like how most of her, like she was born in 1923, so that would have been, I don't remember what year it actually started, but you know, 10 through her teen years or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she had, you know, they lived on a farm. She had eggs for breakfast every single day for like a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom has said, you know, and she loved it. She loves eggs still. And it wasn't, she thought everyone was poor. She thought everyone was struggling. So to her, it wasn't this giant, she didn't. You know, sure, it was hard, I'm sure, and it was difficult, and it was, it could cause grief sometimes, but there wasn't this envy. There wasn't this, if only God would give us these things that he gave other people. Mm-hmm. It was just, everyone she knew was poor, everyone she knew was struggling.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, yeah, we're all.
That's kind of what I meant about, like, the third world countries.
Right,
like,
right. They're fine. We don't need to do anything.
No, you know kind of what I mean.
I know what you're saying, yes. Yeah. And I think going back to like blind faith, just that real quick, because that's kind of what I was saying a minute ago about, do I just believe the first explanation that's given to me?
Mm-hmm.
Because that shouldn't be how you act, right?
Unless it's from God, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. It should be reckless confidence, right? Mm-hmm. You should have reckless confidence in God and his word and how he leads you, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we probably misinterpret a lot of what he says.
Yeah.
You know,
I feel like I almost exclusively misinterpret.
Sometimes that's where I have the least faith is like, I don't know what I'm.
Right.
I'm doubting myself.
Right.
More than anything. Yeah. It's more doubt myself than of God.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
What should we do now?
We figured it out. Well, I just want to add.
Yeah.
So I asked you that question and I was expecting you to turn it back on me.
Okay, Aiden, what do you think?
I'll keep it kind of brief because I think we can probably move on. But, for me, like I was saying earlier, philosophy and theology are almost entirely intellectual. And I would say religion is almost entirely intellectual as well. Or sorry, philosophy and theology, I would say, are entirely intellectual. Which doesn't mean they have no place, but doesn't mean that there aren't ways to apply them.
Of course not.
They're not just a cute hobby.
It just shows to me that this isn't all of it.
It's not the whole thing and it's not the source of anything.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to make these objective
statements. It's not the source of everything.
Right. And I would argue, and like you, I feel confident that God is the source of everything. And with God comes faith. So because it's mostly intellectual, I have definitely fallen into the trap of getting caught in the weeds of theorizing things and trying to pigeonhole God and trying to, like Madeline L'Engle says, trying to limit God, I feel like I have been unfaithful in terms of I haven't been reliant on God. I've been reliant on these discussions and theology and these doctrines, Gesundheit, and these debates. So I guess because of that, but here's the other thing. I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? I don't want to just say, because I've recognized that myself in years, that I have a tendency to be drawn towards very heady intellectual things.
Not bad.
Yeah. So I don't want to say, but because of that, I feel like I have had a very slow growth in my faith, in my actual, how do I listen to God and how does God reveal himself to me and how do I do things that he wants me to do, right? Yeah. So I want to strengthen that.
Sure.
I want to strengthen that, I think, very vital, important part of my life. I don't necessarily need to strengthen the philosophy or theological side, right?
Got that down.
Right. Well, it's not that I got it down, because no. I don't think it's, for me, it's not about nail that down.
No.
It's about, you know, understanding how people think about things, understanding how people approach things. Reading Walking on Water by Madeline L'Engle has been incredibly revealing to me, because I think it was published in 1980, and it's this Christian author writing about how she approaches storytelling and art and God and how they all correlate and intertwine and support each other. And I think, like, and again, kind of like I've said about C.S. Lewis over and over, I think it's an incredible book because I agree with it so much and because it's those things that I've been thinking of where it's
what
like
book?
Walking on Water.
Oh, sorry.
I agree with it, and it's because I've been thinking these exact same things for years and years and years. And finally, it's like being revealed to me. This is part of it. This is kind of what you've been trying to say. So how do I wrap this up? Part of me I'm a very binary guy. Sometimes I can be very binary in it's either this or that, right? And so I think, well, I've been too much into the philosophical, theological side. I need to get into the actual faith side of it, right? Which means I need to completely reject and walk away from the other sides. So at this point in my life, just to kind of like, how does it apply within my day to day?
Yeah.
It's important to me. Philosophy and theology and religion. It's incredibly intriguing, and I love understanding it. I love hearing about conversations. I love talking to people about it. But right now, what I want, and I think I will make that distinction, what I want to be most important to me is the actual conversation between me and God, and how do I continue to listen better? You know.
And I do think like some things like that and truths. And things that God's trying to tell you can be given to you through
yes
philosophy, reading philosophy that is more like considered secular,
yes,
right,
yes.
Or through conversations with other people. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like you're not, well, maybe you are, but what, it's not like you have to stop reading and theorizing and reading theology and philosophy writers and things like
right.
that. It's more about the outlook that you take,
right?
Which is kind of interesting too.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe not for you personally. I'm just saying one could look at it differently.
So, again, I think these are all good and valuable and can be very important to people. I think can be.
But they're not like the roots of what are, how we
right.
live.
And again, I think that religion, theology, philosophy are sometimes obscenely conflated with faith, with God. And I think absolutely they can correlate. I don't think they're mutually exclusive. But I do think people use religion as an excuse for faith.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to religion. We haven't talked about that as much.
you want to talk about more?
Or should we stop?
Well, did we not get into it?
We didn't really talk about religion.
Oh, okay.
But we can if
you
don't have to.
No, we can get into religion. So what is religion to you? How have you experienced it and what is its value to you?
For a while, I had like a sour taste for the idea of religion,
mm-hmm.
because when I think of it, I think of like the people who you must wear a fancy dress and go to church every Sunday to
right.
be a Christian. You must do this many things and this many things.
And it's not a cultural. It is that, yes. to be a good Christian, you have to do these things. God will dislike what the environment that you seem that you were perceiving that I was. Think of as God won't love you as much people. If you don't wear a nice dress at church. Sorry, yeah, keep going.
So that's what I think of when I think of like religious people. What I think of now is like religion. I don't even know. It's the practice of Christianity. It's almost like the outward practice of it. And again, for a while, it's like I get kind of. I'm redefining it for myself recently because for a while I almost wanted to have nothing to do with people that were perceived that way as religious. I didn't want to be considered as like a religious person because that just, I feel like it can make people feel bad that aren't or feel like discluded or kind of looked down upon.
Yeah.
And I just wouldn't want ever to have that. But I do think.
So it's not that you're ashamed of your faith. It's you're ashamed of the other religious people and you don't want to be associated with that atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I do think the importance of religion is the community aspect of it all.
Yeah.
Of, you know, there's other people in your practice living life and living, trying to hold the same values and things as you. And that can feel really humbling and also really like you're part of something bigger and belong to something. And I think everyone practices religion differently.
Yeah.
And I think that's fine also.
Yeah. And that's something I think, the communal aspect I think is we're preaching that all day long, right? That's kind of what one of our mission statements as Opal Entertainment is. And we were talking about that this morning in church and our pastor was saying, you know, here are all the things about specifically Sunday morning gatherings. Here's the importance of that. Here's what it does. Mm-hmm. And after that, as I was going through that, thinking about it, I was taking notes and all these things. And I went, yes, all that is true, but that is not exclusive to Sunday mornings or Tuesday evenings. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not exclusive to these specific people. This can happen literally anywhere. So because of that, I think that, and that's not to degrade it. That's not to downplay it at all. It's just that it's so readily available. You don't have to wait till Sunday to partake in worship or in, you know, if you want to use the word religion, you don't have to wait, you know?
Yeah.
When we went the last house show with Ray, mm-hmm. I think that was absolutely God's people celebrating their freedom in God, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that wasn't, there was no, Ray didn't pull out scripture and teach us at any point. Mm-mm. It wasn't any of that. It was simply, here are our experiences. Here are the things that we think are important. Here are the things, we all agree on these things, right? Do we all agree on these things? Great. Let's celebrate that, right?
It's music.
It was music.
And people walked in there. I don't know how everyone was.
Right.
Some were friends, some were neighbors.
Right.
I don't know everyone's story. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But we all came to a common, felt very connected. It was a,
Yeah. That was a hefty one.
Yeah. I feel like we'll definitely have more segments to this.
We will. We'll probably have some.
After we listen to it back, we're going to be like,
I wish I would have said that.
That's a good sign, I think.
Yeah,
We're trying to go with a natural flow of conversation in these and not necessarily come into it with like pre-thought out ideas.
Well, it's exactly what you've been talking about, right? Yeah. It's like you want to understand the process. If we started the podcast and said, here's our answer to these things, that can have value. But I think, it's better to ask deep questions than give simple answers. Yeah. I think that,
Yeah.
So, it's not like this podcast was that long. It's just
through a lot of different
ideas.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah.
We're playing a show tonight. We're super, super pumped.
Super excited. We got Harmon and Wheelies opening for us. We're going to have there's just a lot of cool people are going to come. We're going to meet a lot of new people.
There's going to be so many snacks.
Yeah. Our friend Shannon is like providing her backyard for us.
Thanks, Shannon.
And she has like 15 people coming that we've never met. So that's like, wow. She's raking them in for us.
All right.
So yeah.
See you on the next episode
of Between Takes.